B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man.
Well, nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're kind of looking at two teams. We've already started cutting some of it up, so 50% is going to be wasted. So we're going to be really good next year against either St. Louis or San Jose the first time we play them. But that's just what it is. We have free time, so we're used to doing pre-scouts. So for me, it's just business as usual. You're just looking at two different teams.
Okay, a lot of Blues and Sharks watching out there. And half of it's going to be wasted, says Cassidy. So again, we'll do Bruins all day long, as much as you want. Want to get to the Kyrie Irving stuff? I think Chris Gasper on Friday came in and mentioned this column, which was posted online. It wasn't in the paper, so you know me. I got to see it in the paper. I got to see it in print before to leave an impact, but I'll just read you some of it. It's Kyrie Irving. Well, the latest from the scouting combine out in Chicago. Steve Bulpet, Boston Herald writes, Kyrie Irving is going to get paid. He's going to get a max contract from someone, and the Celtics would still like to be the team that signs those checks. Let's put that right up front. So he says the Celtics still want Kyrie Irving. How do you feel about that, Murray?
No, not great. I mean, it is a superstar-driven league, so I get it, and it's just further proof that Danny Ainge would hire an axe murderer as long as he's talented. But I still question how they would sell this guy to a big part of the fan base that seems pretty pissed off about him being here and how this went the last couple of years and how it all went this season, and I think rightfully so. But as Gasper always says, you know, winning is the best deodorant. So if he goes out there and they start winning games again and it looks good and they have Anthony Davis, it all will be forgotten. But for him to come back initially, I still think that he has to sit in front of cameras and microphones and, you know, accept the reality of that this past season was a lot of it was his fault. And he has to own that. And I based on his personality, I don't expect that to happen, but if they're going to bring him back, I think that needs to happen.
I mean, to me, look, you know how I feel. I want him back. I believe in talent in that league, and if you don't have him, you got to find someone close.
He says the Celtics do continue to hold out hope that Irving will clear his head, realize the possibilities in Boston with a reworked roster that may even have Anthony Davis, and choose to stay and fulfill the line from the Nike commercial about getting his number retired there. A line that, by the way, Bulpet says he wrote himself. Yeah. It would be an epic journey of realization for a guy who considers himself a deep thinker. Now, would you please with this? Don't play into it. Good God.
No. But that line's accurate. He considers himself a deep thinker.
Yeah. Okay. He considers himself a deep thinker. No question.
Kyrie the prophet.
So plan A still, Kyrie stays, trade all these guys for Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by this.
You like that plan?
I don't mind it, and I'll tell you why. I like it better than I used to.
And Bulpet doesn't address the contract thing. Meaning, would you do this without commitments? Without a commitment from Anthony Davis?
Feels like it.
And Kyrie on a 1-1 or whatever?
Yeah, that would scare me. That would scare the hell out of me. But I'll tell you what, I think more than ever you need Anthony Davis. I don't know how you solve the Giannis problem without Anthony Davis. Where are you going to get someone that can defend that guy? Or come close?
I think you can do it as a team. I think when the Celtics committed to it, they were okay.
Yeah, for one game. I don't.
I don't think it's about one guy.
I do. I mean,
I'm watching Toronto. They're not doing it with one guy. They held him in check last night. I mean, Kawhi Leonard did a good job, but it wasn't just him. They did the same thing the Celtics did. They build a wall three across on the free throw line when Giannis gets the ball. I mean, that's how you do it.
Let's see how they do in the series.
Yeah, I think Toronto has a chance in this series.
Yeah, I'm not convinced of that. The second game worried me. They get their absolute asses kicked in that game. For crying out loud. And Giannis is only going to get better, by the way.
Okay, well, that's true.
So like, I just think, and I'll tell you what, take him specifically out of it. Milwaukee killed them around the basket. Both ends. The Celtics have to get somebody big in there now. Because on both ends of the floor, you got to make them play on both ends of the floor and respect that they don't have that. They got to get that. They have to get a big guy.
So this is like the takeaway nationally that Bulpet wrote about. He says, the most interesting bit of information from several sources that we've been able to consolidate and confirm is that some teams thought to have interest in Irving as a free agent are now a great deal more wary. Based on the way things played out with the Celtics this season and Irving's role both off the court all year and on it in the playoff loss to Milwaukee, certain clubs are concerned about putting too many eggs in his basket right away. He says two teams for certain are telling people they will only go after him if they land another marquee free agent, and that player says he wants Irving. In each of these cases, the initial target is different. And then he writes in parentheses, there was worry on one of those clubs that the basketball ops people might be overruled by ownership and told to make Irving a primary aim, but that organization is now on the same page. Okay, first of all, do you think that Kyrie Irving's market has been diminished?
No.
Me neither. I don't buy this.
Propaganda.
I agree. It's either Celtics propaganda or...
Lakers.
Right. I was going to say LeBron propaganda to dampen his market.
Yep.
I don't believe that one bit.
It's propaganda.
You know, two teams for certain are telling people they'll go after Irving only if they land another marquee agent, a free agent first. So is that the Knicks saying we're only going after Kyrie if we get Durant?
Maybe.
Yeah, I would think so.
So you're telling me if the Knicks fail on Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving wants to go there, the Knicks are going to say no?
No, I don't believe that.
I don't believe that one bit. I don't believe that one bit. Could that be the Clippers? And Doc Rivers saying, yeah, I'd take Kyrie, but only if I get Kawhi Leonard first.
Clippers, I wouldn't rule out.
That I could see.
Yeah.
Because Doc has a clue.
Yep.
And they're not as desperate.
Yep.
The Knicks, they'll take whatever scrap is left on the table. Don't tell me they'd walk away from Kyrie Irving if he said he wanted to go there.
No, what I could see is the opposite. I could see that if the Knicks don't get Durant, that Kyrie says I'm going to Brooklyn. Like that I could see. Or Kyrie says I'm going somewhere else.
Would Brooklyn be one of those teams that said, well, we're not handing over the keys of the franchise to Kyrie Irving?
I doubt it. I think they would too. They're Brooklyn, for crying out loud.
I think they have more of a clue than the Knicks do.
I don't know. They're still Brooklyn. And so how do you make Brooklyn relevant?
So, but this whole thing about his market going down, I don't get it. I mean, I don't believe it. I don't.
Propaganda.
I think it's propaganda. I do. And I think that's either to help the Celtics or to help LeBron and the Lakers who want Kyrie Irving. I was watching ESPN this morning, the Get Up Experience, and I didn't have the sound on, but there was a little banner at the bottom that said, Windhorst, : LeBron and Kyrie's games were meant for each other.
Oh, geez, there's a shock.
God, could you be any more obvious, LeBron?
Yeah, there's a shock. Again, anything that comes out of Windhorst might as well have a little statement at the bottom that says that this report has been approved by LeBron James, for crying out loud. And look, on some level, there is some truth to that. Like, if Kyrie stands on the perimeter and just shoots when LeBron throws him the ball, Kyrie will be damn good. So they in some ways, they fit. In some ways. But
I'm sorry. I started to read again. I'm going to repeat what you said. Forgive me. But it's a preemptive strike against when hosts aren't listening. How could Kyrie and LeBron work on the floor? Like,
sure.
How could you argue that?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what I'm getting at. But I don't think their personalities work. So that's
how could they work with anyone? Those two.
No, exactly. Let alone one another. Two absolutely giant egos. Gigantic egos.
Well, don't you think that might have changed, though, now that there's been this thaw and they've kind of realized, hey, we might actually need each other?
Well, from a distance, they might think that. But look, if they can make it work on the floor, what does it matter?
See, I think LeBron needs Kyrie more than the other way around right
now. Yes, I do, too. I do, too. Because LeBron's stuck where Kyrie has choices. He can come back here and be in a good spot. He can go somewhere else and create a good spot.
He's a free agent. He can go wherever he wants.
If LeBron doesn't get one of these guys to join him, he's stranded.
Porked.
Bull Pett writes, the way things went for the Celtics has caused some of Irving's expected pursuers to, if not get uptight, then to at least pause for a moment. The talk has been fast and often borderline furious. One Knicks source said 3 months ago that people above him in the organization were convinced the club was getting both Irving and Kevin Durant. A prominent agent shook his head at that and said the ongoing dilemma was that Kyrie wanted Brooklyn and Durant wanted the Knicks. Another league source said the Irving-Brooklyn talk was just a smokescreen, but a Warrior source said he knew for sure that Irving had spoken to Durant about the possibility of teaming up. Don't you love how they didn't even wait for this, they didn't even wait for the playoffs to end? It's like these guys.
No, it's an A-Rod move.
These guys are still playing.
Oh yeah, no, totally. It's a total dink move. Like, we're all that matters, and it is comical though, because you know what the bottom line is? Most of the teams don't even know what the hell's going to happen either. At least the people on the outside, the people on the inside might know, but scouts or whoever else is out at these things or whoever that they're calling here and that's talking. The one thing I believe is that Durant and Kyrie have talked to one another about teaming together. And I have to believe that that's the Knicks, because I can't imagine Durant going to Brooklyn.
But you can imagine Kyrie doing it.
Yes.
Because he's just,
Kyrie.
It's just the different thing to do, man.
Murray's right, though. He is. He's like, you know, again, go ahead, Murray, go.
It's just that. He like, loves the fact that he is a contrarian and what everyone thinks he's going to do when that it seems to be going down that road. It's like he purposely says, no, I'm not going to do what they think I'm going to do. I'm going to do the complete opposite thing. Oh, they say Brooklyn's the worst place for me to possibly go? That's where I'm going. That's his personality.
It's totally him.
And it's so contrived, too. Like, that's the thing that makes it so annoying.
Well, it's right. If it were authentic, then fine.
Yeah.
Like, but it's so fake. Oh, it's so fake because all he wants at the end of the day is everyone's approval. That's what he wants. He wants LeBron's approval. He wants everyone's approval.
Well, and he wants and people talking. And I think he likes the fact that people think, wow, what a weirdo. Yeah, see, because I go to the beat of my own drum, man. I don't think the way that normal people think because I'm the prophet, Kyrie Irving. I'm so cool.
In some ways, the most shocking thing he could do would be to come back. In some ways, like, you know, because, again, we all think he's out of here. He doesn't want anything to do with this. He's going to do his own thing.
And that's one of the delicate things here. If the Celtics really do want him back, and it does sound like they do, and I get it from a talent standpoint, they have to treat it like they don't want him.
Yeah,
they really do.
They have to play hard to get because that's the only way to handle women.
Which is right.
make them think you don't want them.
Yeah. Right, which is why Wick was smart enough to not say anything. Like, as part of the reason. Well, you know, I'm not going to comment about any player. Because as soon as he says he wants him, Kyrie's running the other way.
Yeah, exactly. Go to Brooklyn. A lot of artisan cheeses and beers. And yeah, you can dress however the hell you want to dress. You can ride a bicycle and have a curly bar mustache. Like, dude, go. Do all that stuff, Kyrie. Oh, you don't want me? Oh, I'm coming back to Boston then. Like, that's the only way it's going to work with this nut.
So there's your Kyrie minute. We'll take your thoughts on that. Got to get to the Patriots this hour as well. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
And I said this the day that they signed Kyrie. They used to be a pace and space team where the ball and the movement dictated who got the shot. Kyrie Irving is a ball-dominated, isolation type of player. They used to be a team where Al Horford, their center, led them in assists.
Right.
Okay, that was their style. Now they've chosen to give the ball to Kyrie to take them home. He's shown that he can't be the best player on a contending team. And I agree with you. He's done in Boston. And you ready for this? You ready for this? The teammates will help him pack.
It's a great Jalen Rose cut from a couple weeks ago on ESPN leads to the Rodenheiser take from Maz.
Yep, time to revisit hottest takes brought to you by Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Electric, serving Metro West for over 90 years and proud sponsor of the Patriots. So when Jalen Rose here, and generally I agree with him, it feels like that Kyrie's gone and the teammates don't want him here. But I still believe that the big thing the Celtics are going to do is the teammates don't have to help him pack. You know why?
Because they're gone.
Because they're going to be packing their own bags. That's the whole point, is Danny Ainge is going to have to choose. The only question is whether Kyrie buys it. I'm convinced more than ever that they're going to get Davis. I'm convinced more than ever. They need somebody who can come close to matching up with Giannis. Somebody. I mean, that's a 10-year problem. That's not a 2-year problem. That guy's not going anywhere. Like, that is a, that's
he's,
a,
he's 23,
something like that. I mean, it's a joke.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I mean, I suppose there's always the chance he leaves Milwaukee, but if you're the Celtics, you're going to bank on that? You got to find an answer. You got to find someone who can match up on some level.
All right. Your calls, mixing this in with our Bruins talk. We've got Tony in the car. Tony, what do you got for us?
Yeah. You know, you guys mentioned, it's a superstar driven league. Is Kyrie a superstar? Because if, he is, but Steph Curry's a super duper star. You watch him play, he's raining down threes, he's destroying people. After watching the Bucks splooge Zixi sauce over Kyrie's face, they're not in the same category.
Okay, let me just stop you. Is Kyrie really a superstar?
Yeah.
I mean, you put him one little half step behind Steph Curry. Do you still believe that?
I do.
You do?
Yep. I do.
Are you watching?
Yeah. He's not that far behind Curry.
Yeah.
The thing that Curry's a better shooter, but Curry's like one of the, you know, what, five greatest shooters in NBA history?
Yeah.
And that release.
Yeah.
I mean, but
his ranking has to take a hit after this season. Kyrie, I'm talking about.
Who would you rather have leading your team?
Oh, that's different.
Well, but no, it's part and parcel.
Curry.
Yeah, it's not even close.
Yeah, Curry.
I mean, Curry's annoying on the floor.
No, but he's a way better team guy.
A team guy. I mean, there's been all sorts of crap going on out there, and he still plugs along. You know, with, you know, the Warriors have their dramas, but it feels like Curry's always sort of on the periphery of it.
Correct.
Not in the middle of it, like this jackwagon here. Oh, I'd much rather have Steph Curry. It's not even close. Like, I don't have to hold my nose. Like, I can watch my team with a clear conscience.
Yeah, I'm just telling you the talent. I said the same thing. I'd take Curry first. I'm just telling you the talent isn't, the difference is not huge.
What about the other guy in the West Final, Lillard?
Kyrie's better than Lillard.
I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah.
Kyrie's better than
better
Lillard.
Better leader, too.
Well, again.
So, I mean, that's factored in. Let's factor in because
well, if you factor that in, Kyrie's at the bottom of everything.
Well, no, I'm just saying. Because, I mean,
he's so a pud.
Right. So you've got to factor, you know, how's that going to impact your franchise and your team building and your roster building and the guys you have on your team? You can't just, you know, this isn't a video game. They're actual people, and if they impact your room and your coaching and all that stuff, it's got to be a factor.
Yeah. Again, I told you, you got to have a veteran guy on the team with Kyrie that'll keep him in line.
Mike in Kentucky with the Bruins Thought. Hi, Mike.
Hey. I think you want the Sharks if you're a Bruins fan. I think one of the main reasons is their goalie, Martin Jones, is a sieve, and he's been real weak this whole playoffs. The other reason is, as a Bruins fan that's left Boston and just a Boston fan in general, like, I think you want the Sharks for the reason, like, you want to beat Joe Thornton, and you want another city that's just going to hate you because you beat them in another championship.
So, I mean, if you want playing the Sharks, if you're into that sort of perverse thing, which I know you are, Boston, you get to play spoiler because the Sharks will be a sentimental favorite. They'll be a sentimental favorite of the league and probably neutral hockey fans and all of Canada probably because of Joe Thornton as being a national guy up there. And I don't know. I just think that most of the hearts and minds will go to San Jose, don't you think? Just as a sentimental favorite. And you can take a dump on that. So you could enjoy that. The series would be more enjoyable. Because they play a more entertaining style and they have more entertaining players, that I guarantee you. Are they an easier out?
I'm starting to think that.
San Jose might be an easier out on top of it all.
Yeah, because they look physically worn down.
They're not as talented. They're more talented than the Blues, but they just don't play the same kind of style.
The goalie blows.
And the goalie's had his problems.
I mean, you know, again, I understand it can change game to game. And every once in a while, you know, maybe a couple times a game, he does make a great save. Some of these goals are brutal. They are at what's his save percentage now for the postseason?
It's below nine.
I mean, that is absolutely god awful.
We've got Khalil in West Roxbury on some hoops. Go ahead, Khalil.
Hey, so we're all this talk about Kyrie probably maybe going to Brooklyn instead. What happened to the talk about D'Angelo Russell? Last time I looked, he had a great season last season. He's 23. He's got more upside. I can't see the two playing next to each other.
Khalil,
they're both ball dominant.
Your call screen indicates you think D'Angelo Russell is better than Kyrie, or you'd rather have Russell.
I wouldn't say he's better. I'd just rather have him. He's right now. I think he's less drama, less problems all around. He did have that problem in L.A., but I mean, I don't see that. That seems and dumb thing that won't happen again.
He just got popped for weed at LaGuardia like 2 weeks ago, too.
Yeah.
Was he the one that narked
Nick
on
Young,
the guy?
Was it Nick Young?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
With Nicki Minaj?
Yeah.
Was that all that whole thing?
Yeah. Don't be talking mess about Iggy.
So
I think that was part of the same story, right?
So I feel he comes with his own set of drama. But, you know, like that's... The weed and the rappers and, like, that's, you know, the cheating is...
That's the league.
That is different than what Kyrie does, which is undermine you from within. Undermine his teammates, undermine his coaches, undermine confidence. And, you know, that's different than
Or they're ratting out a teammate for cheating on his girlfriend?
It's not what you're looking for, that's for sure.
Or whatever it was, something like that. Murray, you'd have to fill me in on the specifics.
You know what? Maybe Russell's just not good enough to create a real problem yet.
Look, Kyrie's a better player than D'Angelo Russell. Let's not get stupid. Okay? So again, I'm not telling you I love the guy's makeup either. I don't know where you go without talent in that league.
Mike in California has a good comment line. Kyrie is a douchebag. His comment line said, Kyrie is a douchebag. Mike, are you there?
Why are we not talking about Brad Stevens more? I mean, yeah, Kyrie had the worst series of his life, okay? And then he goes on the presser and says, oh, what did he say?
Now's not the time to be disappointed.
You guys have a hot job out there. I get it. And he goes, looks the guy in the face, and he goes, I'm going to go home tonight safely. Okay, you're on a Lear. You know, you're on a private jet. You're going to get home safe. And then he turns around and goes, and I want to be with my family. What normal human beings do? Are you fucking kidding?
I could tell that guy was off.
Yeah, no, that wasn't going to work.
That guy was off.
So look, nobody likes Kyrie. I mean, who likes his attitude, his vanity, his narcissism? Who could possibly like that? That's impossible to like. It makes a guy just hard to be around. The problem is the talent, and I say problem. You got to find a way to replace it. And look, it's one thing to look at numbers in that league and say, well, D'Angelo Russell averaged 21.1 points. He shoots 37% from three-point land. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it comes down to which guy can break down another guy and get a shot and make it. And there are only a handful of guys in that league. Our simulcast producer, Vinny, pointed this out, and he's right. Look at the teams that are left. I mean, you're talking about the best players in the league. Durant, Curry, the Freak, and who am I leaving out?
Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard. Like, that's it.
And if you don't put Lillard on that list, and some people do.
I mean, and they're getting smoked. They're getting absolutely smoked. So, like, it comes down to a handful of guys. If you don't have one of those guys, you're in trouble.
Kyrie's not one of those guys.
So he's not one of those top four. But, you know, Anthony Davis might be.
Yeah, because how many times did he get his team as the stud on that team to the playoffs? Like once?
Okay, but twice? So that's a fair question too, Mario, but this is now the problem. If you can't get one of those guys, you got to try to get two or three that are close.
What if two are gigantic pain in the asses? Because I think Davis might have shown that at the end of last year too, when he's wearing the That's All Folks t-shirt and flipping off fans that are, you know, mad that he's not going to be playing for them anymore.
So then you have to decide as a fan or as an observer what you want. Do you want a team that is going to fail ultimately, maybe even in the conference final, like Portland, but is likable, or do you want to take a shot at actually trying to win it?
I just think that bitchiness ends up undermining everything, as proven by this year, no matter how talented guys can be.
Zach in Rhode Island has a thought on Giannis. Go ahead, Zach.
Hey, guys. Correct me if I'm wrong. Last year, didn't Shemmy cover him really well defensively, and he only got like 5 minutes a game in this year's playoffs while they got destroyed by him?
So was that in the playoffs you're talking about now?
Yeah, last year against Milwaukee in the playoffs. He played well defensively against them.
So Ojale was credited with playing well against them. I don't think he stopped him, and I don't think any one guy stops him. So this is just a Maz's point. You got to get Anthony Davis to match up with Giannis. Is Anthony Davis really a match for Giannis?
He's
athletically up and down the floor. I mean
he's probably closer than anything in the league.
Is he a good defender? Does he defend?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about essentially a 7-footer that can, you know, alter shots at the rim, and that is hard to shoot over, and show an athletic. So, like, this is all I'm saying. I'm not telling you Giannis is stoppable.
Is Anthony Davis a hard-nosed player?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, but his length puts him in the conversation as far as defensive guys. You have to think of Anthony Davis and a guy like Karl-Anthony Towns as the two guys who might be available this offseason for the Celtics to go get.
Mike, they got to get someone in the paint.
Isn't Karl-Anthony Towns kind of a puss?
A little bit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's all I'm saying. I mean, you got to be, if you got to defend Giannis, you got to, I mean, you got to stick your nose in there for 48 minutes and take the body and blah, 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 blah. I mean, yeah, I don't care how big you are. Some guys don't want to do that.
Okay, so, but again, what are your alternatives? Like, what you
team
know?
Team defense. A lot of the time last night, you guys watch it? Who was the guard that would start off on Giannis on a lot of those situations? You know, and the Raptors were playing the switch, knowing that there'd be a screen and then they'd switch on to someone else. But a lot of times,
I can't remember who it was. They didn't have one of their big guys on him.
Yeah, I didn't see a ton of the game last night.
So the only way to do it is as a team, and they did the same thing you were doing with walling it off and sort of, you know, forming that line across the free throw line and not letting him get in there. That's how you defend him. I don't think one guy does it.
Yeah, you got it. But there are times where you're going to have to guard him one-on-one or just make him work for buckets. Because if you're walling him up all the time, there's going to be two or three open shooters on the floor every time.
Here comes a update from Murray. Patriots Minute coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
So here's a Patriots Minute for you. Phase 3 of OTAs, organized team activities, begin today. Phase 3. It's when you can start throwing the football around. They call them passing camps. Passing camps for quarterbacks, receivers, tight ends, running backs, etc. You don't put on pads. You don't block each other. You don't hit each other. But you run around and you can do 11-on-11s, I think. At least 7-on-7s. And it's, well, the first two phases of the offseason program are like stretching and weightlifting and things of this nature. Phase 3, you start getting into football. Last year, Tom Brady missed phase 3, the only quarterback of the 32 in the National Football League to do so. 31 other starting quarterbacks showed up for this part of the program. Tom Brady did not. Apparently, he's not as well this year. Do we have an update on that, Murray? But is there anything to report on that today?
I can double check, but not to my knowledge.
I mean, I'm just reading from Ben Volen in the Globe. The Patriots, this one's important for him, he says. This year, it's important. Their defensive coordinator and four positional coaches left. Rob Gronkowski retired. 7 of their 10 receivers and 5 of their 7 tight ends are new. Huh. And Brady's not going to show up? When 7 of the 10 receivers are new and 5 of the 7 tight ends are new? And one of the new receivers is a rookie on top of it?
First round pick.
But he doesn't even know the league. Never mind new to the team. Wow. Okay. Well, I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no updates. He's not there.
I blew my brains out about this last year. They won it anyway. So what's the diff? But let me just tell you, in a vacuum, regardless of how this is going to turn out or not, it's just wrong. It's not right. It's not right. It's a sign of, if this were any other team, we'd call them dysfunctional. If it were any other team, we'd say this is dysfunctional. You have passing camps and the quarterback doesn't show. I mean, really, any other team, even good ones. When the Packers had Brett Favre, they were a good team. He was a good quarterback. He'd skip this time of year and we'd go, that's why they're the Packers. We'd mock them. But the Patriots do it, they still win Super Bowls, so I guess what's the diff? Anyway, the things on the table this week, according to Volen. Teach the offense to a new bunch of receivers, including a rookie. He says there are always new veteran faces at the back of the receiving room. And this year is no different, with Maurice Harris, Demaryius Thomas, and Dontrell Inman vying for roster spots. But for the first time since 2013, the Patriots have invested a significant draft pick in a receiver, N'Keal Harry. The Patriots are clearly counting on him to have an immediate impact, so getting him up to speed with the offense and how they conduct practice is a crucial element over the next 4 weeks. The Patriots also have an entirely new tight end room. Entirely new.
Yep.
The two holdovers didn't play a snap last year. That's Ryan Izzo and Steven Anderson. Who's Steven Anderson? I've never heard of him.
Me neither.
Steven Anderson.
Ty Anderson's cousin.
Otherwise, it's a hodgepodge group. I think you went joke on me there. It's a hodgepodge group of veteran free agent signings. Ben Watson has played with the Patriots before, but not in over a decade. Doesn't count. It doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
Who else did they bring back? Ben Coates?
It doesn't count. When was Watson's last year here?
09.
Was it 09?
Somewhere around there.
So he didn't even play in Josh's system the last couple of years. McDaniels was gone in 09, I think. Either way, Austin Zavarian Jenkins is on his third team in 3 years.
Murray, make that noise again.
Matt LaCoste likely projects as a second or third tight end on the Jaguars, I parenthetically add. and undrafted rookie Andrew Beck is just hoping to catch on. I love when I read roster breakdowns of the Patriots and a name comes across my vision that I've never seen before in my life.
You shouldn't know who Andrew Beck is.
Andrew Beck? And who is that receiver?
I thought he was a drummer.
Dontrell Inman?
Oh, no. Steven Anderson? I have no idea who these people are.
Me neither.
I've never heard of them. All right. And they're going to do that with Brian Hoyer, Danny Etling, and the new kid.
Stidham.
Jared Stidham, who doesn't even need directions to the stadium. Those are the guys that are going to be running the camp.
So the big one for me is...
Oh, that's great.
The big one for me is Harry.
That's great.
Like, again, first-round pick. You drafted a wide receiver with a first-round pick. And given the history at that position, given how difficult it is for wide receivers to come into the league and have an impact, as Belichick has told us in the past, given all of that, you need every rep you can get.
So here was one more thing that made me spit out my organic bulletproof coffee. The coaches. There's all these new coaches. They lost all these coaches. They're bringing new coaches in, da-da-da. So this is a camp. Then when you start playing football, you can really start to get these guys up to speed. And I read this. I didn't even know this because thank God I don't pay attention to the staff anymore like I used to have to. On offense, Joe Judge will be the Patriots' first new receivers coach in 10 years. Okay. Then Volen writes, and how does the transition to the offensive side of the ball work while also handling his duties as special teams coordinator? That's Joe Judge. Yeah. Yes, he's the special teams coach. He's also going to be the receivers coach. Okay, that's weird. I've never heard that before. Those special teams coaches are like coordinators. They like have their own whole situation. He's going to coach teams and receivers at the same time? What?
Seems a bit much.
And then I read this. And Mick Lombardi will be the new assistant quarterbacks coach, meaning he'll work closely with the backups and youngsters.
You don't remember when they brought him in? We made a whole thing about this.
Mick Lombardi. Did I make a big thing about this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I had to have.
Because it's more nepotism.
Bobos and kids. Steven Belichick, Brian Belichick, Mick Lombardi? The old man's bad enough, that Bobo. Now we're bringing the Bobo's kid on board?
Oh, you mean he's not related to Vince?
When did they hire Mick?
Oh, this was months ago.
He is, actually.
Yeah, it was.
Is he?
I think so, yeah, all the way down the line.
A month after the Super Bowl. Like, this was one of their first coaching offseason hires.
I don't remember it.
Oh, yeah, no, and I remember having it in the headlines, and we all had ourselves a laugh.
Mick Lombardi. Not Mike Lombardi.
Right.
Mick Lombardi. Kid. It's Mike Lombardi's kid. And why did I think they were related to Vince all the way down the line? I can check that. But if it ends, when it ends, these are the kind of things that you look back and you say, well, this is how organizations run themselves into the ground. This is how businesses fail, that they stop hiring the best people. They just start hiring kids
and
friends.
Kids and friends and hangers-on.
Did you already mention Bielma and Schiano?
Schiano left.
I know, but Bielma hired them.
Bobos and kids. So this is how family businesses fail, right? You just start hiring the snot-nosed kid of your friend and whatever, or your buddies and their buddies' kids. And it all just frays from the inside because you're not hiring qualified people. You're just hiring buddies.
And you're never going to get any pushback, obviously.
Okay, so like that's what the staff is. And then the most important people stop putting in the work, like stop going to passing camps when they're the quarterback. Like, I'm not predicting doom. It ain't going to matter. It didn't matter last year. It ain't going to matter. But I'm just saying, in any other setting, you would look at that and say, well, that's how the whole thing ultimately ends, is because you start managing your business like that. Any business that starts to manage like that, where the most important people stop putting in the work, i.e. Brady, and the managers just start hiring kids and friends and bobos and hangers-on, that's how the whole thing ends. Not here, I guess, but any of the business, that's what you'd be saying.
So look, I get it, okay? They won. I get it. But at some point, doesn't that have to start catching up to you?
That's what I think. That's what I thought. If it were any other thing, it would be.
So listen, again,
Michael Lombardi is not related to Vince.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So in a vacuum, I just think it's a bad look for you to draft a receiver with your first draft pick and the quarterback doesn't show up. I just think that's a bad look.
It's insane.
So if Harry is at all slow to learn it this year, we're supposed to say that this didn't matter?
I don't know.
Like, Sony Michel to me, all right, fine, he's a back. Like, how many times realistically was he going to get targeted anyway? Fine. This guy's a receiver. Like, the whole point is for this guy in the first round to become a major part of your offense. major, not just some guy you can pick up off the scrap heap and throw to on third down. I mean, like, you know, and not that that's a small thing, but you'll understand what I'm saying. Like, this guy is supposed to be a stud now in your passing game for a while.
And he's going to have to sleep to pine mattress if he wants to, you know, get some work in with Brady.
I just think that that's a horrible look.
And I'm not even sure is he allowed to do that? Yeah, he signed, so he's probably allowed to do it. I don't know. But once again, let's just see. 31 of the 32 showed up last year except for Brady. Is that the way it's going to be again this year? And that's okay? I guess it is. It's okay. And we just keep hiring Bobos and kids. And that's okay, too. Not going to matter. Not going to matter. Long commercial-free segment is next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
Well, there's different sports. There's crossovers that we've all sort of identified that we're going to tap into. And, you know, there's a local team, I think, that's, you know, had time between, you know, when they're going to Super Bowl. So we are going to look at different resources that, you know, have done it and done it well.
Do you have a relationship with Belichick? Is he somebody you can reach out to?
Do I personally? No. I have a hell of a lot of respect for the man, that's for sure. I think we're going to reach out to their group and just, again, tap into, you know, every different... We look at everybody as assets, you know, in that way, and hopefully they'll be able to share some information to us.
Well, here's another Patriots item. And I, you know, I have an answer about why the Patriots are doing what they're doing and why Brady skips and Belichick is... the staff, and I've got the answer to why they can do it. I'll give that to you in a second, but I just want to give you this because I found this interesting. That was Don Sweeney on Saturday, right? Didn't he talk on Saturday?
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yep.
So Don Sweeney on Saturday basically tells the media, we're going to call the Patriots and ask how they handle these long layoffs.
Yeah.
Because every year they have the 14-day bye, and, you know, how do you handle
the double bye, two double byes.
All of it, not just that. You know, the Bruins have 11 days between games, not typical in hockey and football. It happens all the time. We'll talk to the best in the business with the Patriots. We're going to call the Patriots, tap into that group and those resources, and, you know, we're going to call the Patriots. And he basically says it, harmless, right? We'll call the Patriots. Bruce Cassidy then spoke the next day. He spoke the next day and was asked about and sort of commented on the same thing. Listen to tell me if you can tell just a slight change here. Go ahead.
We'll talk to some people outside the organization. I don't want to get too specific with that because then they get brought into it, see how they've handled it, at least the mental side of things.
Stop.
We've reached out to a few people.
Don't want to get specific about it because then they get brought into it. Your general manager the other day said the team. He's going to call the Patriots. Now the next day, Cassidy says, we're going to reach out to some people. I don't want to get into specifics because then they get brought into it. Keep going.
At least the mental side of things. We've reached out to a few people and... you know, when we do, then I don't know, man, you know, some of that is obviously private information they may not want out in the public, but for me, it may be good stuff and maybe relevant, maybe not. You know, and they may be willing to share, maybe not as well. So some people are more open to it than others, and we'll find out.
Who wouldn't want it in the public?
The Patriots.
Like, who would care? Who would possibly care that another team in town said,
Bill,
you know, we're going to want to call this team because they've been in the spot so much and, you know, they have a lot of knowledge and hopefully we could draw from it. Who would possibly care about that? There's only one team I could think of.
Bill.
The Patriots. And I don't even know why. What, they don't want to be bugged by the media being asked, so what'd you tell the Bruins?
Probably.
Is that it?
But yeah, I think it's as simple as that.
Well, then fart into the microphone and take the next question like you usually do.
I'm sure he will when he is going to be asked about it.
How big of a problem is that? Hock a loogie at the person that asks it, like usual, snort into the microphone, and then say you're just getting ready for the next practice and take the next question. You don't have to answer it. But I just doesn't that reek of the Patriots?
Yes. Yes, it does. And I'll tell you, honestly, I'm not even sure I love the idea. What the hell can the Patriots tell Bruce Cassidy about how to keep a hockey team sharp?
I don't think anything.
How is it apples to apples? It's not even close to apples to apples.
I just find it interesting. I think it's a non-story either way. What I find interesting is that Saturday they say, yeah, we call the Patriots. And then the next day they're like, Well, we're going to call some teams, but they want to keep it private and they don't want to get brought into it. So, you know, it's like they were told to shut up.
So I'll tell you what,
the
only way Cassidy's comment that I would find acceptable is if it was another hockey team and they didn't want the opposition to know they were giving some advice to the
Bruins. So that I get. Totally. So,
right? Like, you know, and
right,
I could,
if they call the Blackhawks.
Bingo.
And the Blackhawks are a division rival of the Blues, and the Blues say, well, now, yes. So that I get.
Right. Right. But the cross-sport thing, if Belichick and the Patriots said, just don't tell anybody that we're doing it because, you know, we don't want the calls.
I mean, maybe I'm, you know, I'm just reading too much into it, but boy, sort of weird how on Saturday, yeah, we're calling the Patriots. And then on Sunday, it's like, well, yeah, you know, teams want to keep it private.
But you know why you're reading into it? Because it's something they would do. That's why.
Feels like something they would do.
Because it's entirely plausible. They run everything down there like the CIA.
So their special teams coach is going to be the receivers coach. Is that right? Joe Judge is going to do both, Murray, full time?
That's the first I heard it, as you're reading from Volan's column.
No, I think you're right.
I don't like it. I don't know how the hell you do both. Because like you said, any special teams coach, like they're on their own island. Special teams coaches.
They're like coordinators.
Doesn't matter. What's wrong with you?
Like, that sounds so weird. You're doubling up. Like, you can't. So what? That feels like things are going to slip through the cracks. I don't know. With all these new receivers, but the receivers coach is actually the special teams coach? All right. And you're hiring the snot-nosed kids on the staff. The staff is littered with Bobos and kids. So you know why they're doing this? Because they can. Because it doesn't catch up to them. And don't tell me they're as good doing it that way. Brady wasn't as good skipping all this stuff. He skipped all that stuff last year and went down a little bit last year. It had an effect. It didn't matter. And this coaching thing? Don't tell me they can be as good. How can you possibly be as good as you can possibly be? I don't know. With the first year receiver, he was also the special teams coach. And you're just hiring the kids of your friends? Like, that's going to leave a mark somewhere unless no one makes it. If no opponent can expose it, then what's the difference? Right? If you can just be 80% of yourself and still win at the same level, then if no one pushes you to be better, then you don't need to be better.
True.
You just keep getting a little worse. It's not going to matter. And that's why they do it, because there's no one there to push them. There's no one there to push the Patriots.
Are you convinced of that?
Yes.
I'm not.
Last year defeated me.
So last year was the kind of year that would defeat you.
Because they weren't that good last year and the gap was still there.
I still think that there were some good young teams in the league. Now, the coaching thing, I don't know.
There's good young players.
Well, that's what I mean.
There's plenty of good young players.
So the coaches, I don't know.
There's a lot of talent out there. Teams, coaches, brain trusts, operations, nope. Nope. No one's close. No one's there to push you.
See, but at some point, you can have the best coach ever, and the Patriots probably do. And if you just don't have enough players or you're not well-drilled enough, it'll catch you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.